Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. But right now, today, it's going to be going to a different direction. We're going to be talking about eating power. Oh, I know, we're all getting ready for that big turkey day. But I'll tell you what, my guest today, Ellen Jaffe Jones, has put together a book that I think anybody can use. She is a vegan, but it doesn't mean you have to be one. Her recipes and her information in this book of Eat Vegan on $4 a Day is amazing. And I thought there's always something we can learn to enjoy better health. But more than that, how can you save money? Have you noticed how much everything has gone up in the grocery stores? I have. I was just out shopping last night. I've been watching the changes. There are so many things that are happening that affect the bottom line when it comes to feeding ourselves and our families. So I want to welcome Ellen Jaffe Jones to the show. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
This is quite an interesting book. And like I said when I was introducing you, anybody really could use this book because vegetables are a very important part of life and of wellness. You have been a reporter, a journalist, and you've even been involved in investing. How in the world did you go from that to getting involved with cooking and food and nutrition to the degree that you have? How did that evolve?
Well, it's funny how everything you do in life kind of ties together. And people ask me how long I was writing on the book and how long I was working on the book. And I say since I was 5 years old when my aunt died of breast cancer in our home. And since then, my mom, aunt, and both sisters got breast cancer. So as an investigative reporter, like most of us, we're really just in this for what is it? What's in it for me? So, you know, as the more I interviewed doctors and registered dietitians, it seemed like there was this truth that was emerging, and that the healthiest people who I seemed to meet were either vegetarian or vegan. And when my sister, one of my sisters got breast cancer for the second time, it was the year I almost died of a colon blockage at the age of 28. I was working in the newsroom and collapsed from eating not enough fiber and too much highly processed meat, salted foods. And doctor said, then, you know, you need to be on medication the rest of your life. They'd never seen a colon blockage so large in somebody my age. So that was my first wake-up call. And then as I was, as many of us do, we go back and forth between different diets and ways of eating. And I had fallen off the wagon a little bit, well, actually a lot, and found myself in an emergency room about 20 years later facing an immediate hysterectomy, according to the emergency room doctors. I had hemorrhaging fibroid tumors. And to make a long story short, my OB got on the phone and said, Ellen, go back to that plant-based diet and call me in the morning. That was in 2004. And within 3 weeks, all signs of menopause were gone, including hot flashes. And even my husband, who is not vegetarian and completely skeptical, was pretty blown away by that experience because he would be sitting with me, we'd be watching TV, and he'd have his arm around me, and he would know when I was flashing. And to have that disappear was just pretty amazing.
Wow, what a story. Okay, here we have your book. Now, I mentioned going to the grocery store. Everything is going up in price. And this is something that a lot of people are concerned about. And you put together this book of being able to feed oneself on $4 a day. Now, that is really, really very inexpensive. I mean, I know people that travel for business, they plop down $100 a day. What prompted you to see what you could do to have good nutrition, eat well, and yet be so economical?
Well, there were several things. I spent 18 years as a television investigative reporter, and then when I left TV, I became a financial consultant at Smith Barney for 5 years, where I was actually the number one market performer in my branch, which had everything to do with how well I did for my clients and nothing to do with how well I did for myself. And, you know, if you are completely honest in that business, as I wasn't selling my elderly widows out of high coupon muni bonds and putting them in a tech fund that blew up. But as a result, I didn't make a whole lot of money for myself. And those Wall Street bonuses you've heard about, I didn't get one. In fact, I never made more than $20,000 a year. And it's one of the reasons that I left the business. But I learned a whole lot in terms of financial planning, and it's helped me immeasurably in how I put this book together. But I became kind of stuck on this whole idea of you can eat well on a budget. The original title of the book was Eat Well on $3 a Day. So that gives you some idea of how long I've been working on this, because by the time we got finished and went to publication, it was $4 a day, and that is including some wiggle room. But Dr. John McDougall, who writes extensively and has been in practice for many years, working with his patients on eating a low-fat plant-based diet similar to the kinds of foods in my book, he had written in a newsletter about 4 years ago saying that he believed that all the recipes in his mini cookbooks could be done for under $3 a day. And the reality is one out of six Americans is living below the national poverty level of $22,000 a year. And if you do the math, thinking that you would put a fourth of your income, which is what good financial planners will say, into food, then that works out to about $4 a day. And many people actually are spending much more than one-fourth of their income on food. But this is where I put my financial services hat on. And I would go to the grocery store and start looking at the unit price. And this is one of the many tips that I have in my book, is that focus on that little square underneath the product. It will usually be, the unit price is usually a per ounce price. And I started thinking in my head, comparing the price of beans, and if you buy the biggest bag of beans, anywhere from 8 pounds to 20 pounds, it's about 5 cents an ounce. 2 ounces of beans cooks up into about 4 ounces cooked. That's a dime. Compare that to the cheapest form of hamburger meat, which is 30% fat, and it's about 60 cents for the same size serving. So if you followed me on that little math example there, beef, the cheapest hamburger meat, is 6 times more expensive than an equal serving of beans, which has a lot of fiber, a lot of protein. I win 5K races for my age group. I ran my first marathon last year. People always say I don't look my age. And, you know, you get plenty of protein, plenty of calcium, that whole story. But, you know, I just became focused on seeing so many stories on the news that said you can't eat well on a budget. And I would see these stories with 300-pound women loading up their carts with Twinkies and macaroni and cheese. And the reporter, like I used to be, would throw the microphone in front of them and they'd say, oh, you just can't eat well on a budget. And I just remember watching one of those stories, seeing exactly that, and I said, that's it, I'm writing this book. Because there wasn't any balanced reporting out there, and reporters don't have access to resources like this to show that you really can eat well on a budget. And it's not only, my book also talks about this, it's not only what you save at the grocery store, it's what you save by avoiding the hospital and doctors and heart disease and cancer. The cost of an average bypass in the United States ranges anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000. And that's just for starters. That doesn't include the course of your lifetime and what other follow-up procedures you might have to have. So if you factor that cost into your $5 burger when you go out to eat, that's really more like a $1,000 burger, depending how much you eat burgers and how many years you live. And in financial services, we call this dollar cost averaging. So factoring in that heart disease into the burger, I think, is a really important thing that we ought to be having a national conversation about.
Well, I think nutrition is something that's very important. And regrettably, it, for many people, including vegetables. Now, I'm not a vegan, so that's not my choice, and I find that for me physically I need to have the meat and some other things for me to have optimum, and I'm in excellent health. So each of us has our own processing, but having gone through years in my life when I was lucky if I had a dime to buy food, and I know what poor nutrition does to you. because I paid a very, very serious price with my teeth, as well as some other problems that affected me physiologically. And this is not a joke. And unless people have walked that route, they don't understand. But I understand about budgeting. And I understand.
And that is so true.
I
was a single working mom at one point in my life, and all I wanted to do was come home at the end of the day and have a healthy, cheap meal on the table for my kids. And that's where the roots of this really began. And one of the things I learned so much at Smith Barney, where I was a financial consultant, is that when I focused on socially responsible investing, it was interesting to see how some corporations really could care less about the environment, which is one of the many facets of being socially responsible, or having an investment or investing in a company that says we are socially responsible. And yet when you would show these corporations like how they could save tremendous amounts of money by, for example, hypothetically speaking, not only recycling their own company's cans, but recycling other companies' cans, that they could save a lot of money, then all of a sudden they were very interested in being socially responsible. And that is my whole focus on this book, is if people can realize, wow, you can save so much money over the course of, maybe if you substituted three meat meals a week with beans, you would be saving, on that earlier example I gave of a 4-ounce cooked serving of beans, you would be saving 50 cents at one meal, and multiply that times three meals, that's $1.50 per person that you're saving over the course of 1 week. Multiply that out times your year, your lifetime, and the significant savings really add up. And again, this is not to mention what you're going to save by avoiding the hospital. Like I say, blood tests, blood work doesn't lie. And if you're in good health, eating the way you are, that's great. But one of the things I say is that preventable diseases are not sustainable. And Bill Clinton recently went very public with his eating vegan to save himself from a third bypass surgery. And he quite effortlessly, as many people in my cooking classes do, lost 25 pounds without ever counting a calorie, without ever being hungry, and loving the food. It takes about 3 weeks for your taste buds to change. And if you look back on a time in your life, maybe when you went from whole milk to skim milk and it was kind of bluish and thin, and then you got used to drinking skim milk, and then you went back to tasting whole milk for some reason, and it seemed really thick and sludgy. So that's the example we often use about changing your taste buds, and it takes about 3 weeks for your mind to kind of catch up with what your body is maybe wanting to do.
I know that using, and one of the points you bring out, which I'm really supportive of, is using local produce. And this is something that really is significant, because those people that are the farmers in your local area, whatever part of the country you're in, usually the nutrition is so much higher than what you get in the typical supermarkets, because it hasn't been necessarily picked prematurely. It has a chance to get the nutrient level in it that it's supposed to have. And more than that, you're supporting the economy of your local environment. And you can save money by buying locally. And if it's fresh, I know winter vegetables like your kale and your collards, which are just wonderful to have. They're just so good to have in soups and fixed in so many different ways. But you have those nutrient-rich vegetables, the squash that is out now, all different types of squashes. It's really a very good thing to do, and sometimes in certain areas it's not easy to find it. But in today's world, farmers are really becoming more innovative, and if you eat the foods that come out in your area seasonally, it really is healthy for you, and you make that point in the book.
Yes, and one of the most popular tips in my book that people ask me about all the time, and they just are so eager to get this website, it's called www.localharvest.org. And you can go on this website, and there's a map of the United States, and you can either enter your zip code or click on the dot that is closest to where you live, and up will pop all kinds of local farms. It used to be these were just CSAs, or Community Sustainable Agriculture Farms, which were started by, and often in many cases, by the government, and then sometimes they'll go to private ownership, or depending on the organization in your city, it just depends now who owns them. But you can go to one of these farms, or now this website provides all kinds of local farmers markets and farms that are in your area. And just where I live alone, there's two CSAs, and I belong to one of them, and I have for the last 4 years. And it's been pretty amazing because I've done the math, and it's about $15 to $20 a week to get four grocery bags full of locally grown produce. And what's amazing is I've been to the grocery store and I have seen garlic that comes from China, and how it is financially sustainable or feasible for a small piece of garlic to end up coming here from China is just kind of mind-boggling. So very important to support the local farms. You're really saving so much for the environment by not having it to be transported across the globe to get to your dinner table. But the interesting thing about most of these farms is that you'll often find that they are growing organic produce, even though they did not spend the money it takes to get the organic certification. And part of that is they want to pass the savings along to you, but also they just maybe don't meet all the qualifications. There are a number of strict qualifications that you have to have to get the certification. But what I tell people, I encourage them to go to the farm, spend time there, take your kids, because we need to show kids that food does not always come in a shrunk-wrapped package. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many kids I've had in my cooking classes over the years that say, "What's that?" And I'll say, "That's a zucchini." And they just don't recognize foods, especially produce. And it's really important to have them come with you and become a part of the earth and connect with the food and all that good fun stuff. But also, if you volunteer at these farms, a lot of times you can get what's called a share, which is your weekly pickup of food, for free. Or partially free, depending on the situation. So it's really just a good way to get local produce, often organic. And if you spend time there, you'll know what they're doing. You'll see where they get the seeds from. You'll see how they're planting. And you'll be able to observe how close it is to organic standards or not.
Well, you also have a statement in here regarding the fact, and I know this to be true because of many points of material that I review, the Environmental Working Group, EWG, has been putting out a list regarding the most contaminated fruits and vegetables, and they put out a list of those that, depending on where they come from, may have a very high level of pesticides, and those that are not going to be real high. And the Dirty Dozen was really interesting to me because it had celery, peaches, strawberries, apples, blueberries, nectarines, sweet bell peppers, spinach, cherries, kale, and collard greens, which I just mentioned is one of my favorite, potatoes, and grapes. Then those that have the fewest are onions, avocados, sweet corn, frozen, pineapples, mangoes, sweet peas, frozen, asparagus, kiwi fruit, cabbages, and eggplants. Now, with apples, I know many times they have pesticides that they spray on the tree. With these foods that were listed as the how it's called the Dirty Dozen, washing them, people have been told for years that this is what eliminates those pesticides. The truth is that many times pesticides, once they're in the ground, they're going to be absorbed by the roots of the trees and or bushes of whatever is growing whatever. When you look at this, like you said, with the local farmers, many times there's not the case. We're reaching a point where people are really wondering, what is it that is really going to be safe to eat? Because of these components that we have had in our environment for so long, we're finally waking up, I think. But as an individual, what do you think someone can do to be more aware? Because pesticides are used to keep bugs at bay, to be perfectly frank. And they've been
right.
used and for a long time.
It's a challenging issue for sure. But here's, I included this in the section because I always get asked about it. And, you know, somebody like me who has a huge family history of cancer, you know, I'm a marked woman, so I eat organic as often as I can, whenever I can. But for those who are trying to, who have to live below the poverty level, they can't afford organic. And as I tell people, the title of my book is not Eat Organic on $4 a day. But here's the thing. The studies I've seen show that it is much better to eat even conventional produce than it is a meat-based diet. Why? Because the animals are eating these plants too. And in their animal fat, the toxins become much more concentrated than if you were actually eating the corn itself or whatever it is that the animal is ingesting. The pesticides and the toxins become far more concentrated in the animal fat. And that doesn't just include, like, the heavy areas of animal fat. This is also in the muscle. Our own muscle has fat in it. It's a different kind of fat. So it's important to know that even if you're eating a lean cut of fat, a lean cut of meat, you're still going to be getting the toxins by consuming the animal in a much more concentrated base. And, you know, there's some interesting studies now coming in that show that vegetarians and especially vegans have so much lower incidences of disease, not only heart disease, which is the obvious one where Bill Clinton and many other CEOs are now figuring this out because they have the best medical attention and care that money can buy. And, you know, it's not rocket science. And when we look at the cultures of the world who can't afford meat and dairy, as the great book, The China Study, so eloquently points out, they don't have our diseases of affluence, not nearly at the rates that we have them. And it's only occurring, especially in China, for example, when they move into urban areas and then start eating a more Western diet. So as you look at the list by Environmental Working Group, and you can go on their website, EWG.org, and they update this list every year. But generally speaking, the vegetables that have the thinnest skins, the berries, are the most susceptible to having various levels of pesticides. And because it is systemic, like especially in the berries and the softer fruits like peaches, it is not possible to wash off the pesticides. But the ones that are in the Clean 15 now, they just came up with that list this year, the skins are thicker, and that's when you find, like, the avocados and the onions. And although the list does change from year to year, generally speaking, you find a lot of them that are the same year to year. So it just makes sense that you can buy, if you're on a budget and you can't afford organics, the real takeaway message here is that you should maybe try and eat more of these other vegetables and fruits that have thicker skins if you are concerned about pesticides. But, you know, let me just say again, my mom, my aunt, both sisters had breast cancer, and I have eaten probably a mixture of 50-50 over my lifetime of conventional versus organic, depending on how flush I was or how much I could afford it. And, you know, I'm quite sure that the other females in my family have not eaten nearly as healthfully as I have even conventional food. It was a heavy meat diet that we grew up on, lots of high-fat, sugary sweets. We lived a block away from the best pastry bakery in St. Louis, and, you know, a morning without deep, gooey butter cake was like a morning without sunshine. So, you know, it really is a matter of balancing and trying to find what works in your life. And like I say, blood tests don't lie, so whatever works.
Absolutely. You've got some nice recipes in here, and I wanted to share with the audience a couple of them. One is your sweet potato muffins, and I just think sweet potatoes are just absolutely awesome, and I got a kick out of the fact that you got this recipe from someone who was a cancer survivor and said she took them into her church, and nobody knew that they were vegan muffins, and my feeling is if it tastes good, who cares? This is such an easy recipe. It's 2 cups of all-purpose whole wheat flour or whole wheat pastry flour, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon each of ground cinnamon and salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, and then you need 1 3/4 cups of mashed cooked sweet potatoes. You can just get them in a can and drain them and mash them, 1/2 cup of raisins and 1/2 cup of water. Your oven's at 375. All your dry ingredients you put together, your flour, sugar, baking powder, soda, cinnamon, salt, and nutmeg, put it in a bowl, just mix it up. Then you add your sweet potatoes, raisins, and your water, and then you stir it until it's well combined. And you set up 10 muffin cups and just fill that muffin cup to the top with batter. And if you want, just put those little paper cups in if you don't want to have to spray the pan. Bake for 25 to 30 minutes until the tops of the muffins bounce back when you press them lightly. And you know that they're done. You can put a toothpick in the middle. And they keep just beautifully. And sweet potatoes are just absolutely awesome. But then your kale soup. Kale is a vegetable that is so hearty that I just think is wonderful, and especially during the winter. And it's so nutritious. It is just rich with nutrition. And you had this kale soup. Now, is this one that you put together?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, kale, I used to grow it in my organic garden when my kids were young. In fact, I joke, this is one of the, I think this incident, anecdote did not make the final cut. I wrote like 10 times more for the book than actually got put into it. But I often joke that my kids, by the age of 3, when we would go on the field trip to the farm, and the farmer would hold up a green leafy thing and go, "What's this?" You know, thinking he would stump all the kids, and mine were the only ones that would pipe right up and say, "That's kale." You know, he was thinking most of the kids would answer spinach, which is what they did. But because we grew it and they were used to it, and if you can't join a CSA, you know, just grow your own if you can. There's so many different kinds of containers now that allow you to grow things if your soil does not meet good standards for growing all these kinds of things. But kale just grows so easily. It's like a weed. And my kids would go out and pull off a piece and just chomp down on it before it even made it into the house. And so putting it in a soup is just a great way. I always keep a can of chopped tomatoes around, so if I get down to the crunch and I just don't think about dinner, this is just one way to add lots of vegetables into kale soup. And I always have some brown rice or whole grains that are cooked in the fridge, especially if I'm running out somewhere and I know I won't be able to eat healthily where I'm going. And this recipe also calls for adding, you can use any kind of beans, really, but this one I call for garbanzo or chickpeas, just because it's a light in color and it contrasts nicely with the dark green of the kale. And it's kind of, it gives it the protein that you need if you want to make a whole meal out of it. I was laughing when you were talking about the sweet potato muffins because I just stuck in a batch of them before I came to do this interview, and suffice it to say, time got away from me this afternoon because I'm trying to get ready for Thanksgiving and all the things. I've got a radio interview tomorrow morning with another station in the Tampa area where I'm from, so I've been preparing a lot of things, and the time for the interview snuck up on me, and so I wrote my husband a little note saying, take the muffins out if they start beeping while we're doing this interview. But they are, I've made them twice now in about 48 hours, and it's interesting sometimes when you make these recipes, depending on the kind of sweet potato it is and how long you cook it, the recipes will turn out a little bit different before you go to bake them. And what's interesting is a lot of stores confuse or don't know the difference between sweet potatoes and yams. And mm-hmm. yams are actually lower in water content. So I encourage people to use sweet potatoes, especially for this recipe, because they are sweeter and they cook up more. They're softer in texture, so they're easier to bake with. And if you put them in a blender, you can use a potato masher, as I suggest in the recipe. But you can put them in a blender, and then it's really just like a very soft batter. And mm-hmm. They are so delicious, and nobody ever guesses that they're made out of sweet potatoes.
Oh, and it's just wonderful. And with this kale soup, you can, I think it'd be great in a crock pot. I love crock pots. You can stick stuff in and just let it simmer away all day if you're busy. And this kale soup is great. You're going to need a half a cup of chopped leeks or green onions, a half of a red bell pepper chopped up, a third of a cup of sliced almonds, 4 cups of water, 6 to 8 tomatoes chopped, or you can put in a can of diced tomatoes, which is about 14 and a half ounces, 2 tablespoons of vegetable broth powder, 1 tablespoon sweet paprika, 2 bay leaves, 2 cups of chopped kale, 1 cup of cooked brown rice, and like you mentioned, 1 cup of the garbanzo beans. And just put it in a pot. Let it simmer away. I love it.
Absolutely. Very easy way to do that. And one of the things that I really wanted to focus on so many of these recipes in my book was for the working single mom like I used to be, because this was one of those recipes that you could easily do that. And with any of the recipes that include beans, great way to cook them easily is in a crock pot. And you can just add all these other ingredients so that when you come home at the end of the day, you've got your full meal with lots of nutritious ingredients mm-hmm. and really tasteful right there for you. And I live in Southwest Florida where we have a large Hispanic population. And as I've done cooking classes over the years, I'll have people come up at the end of the class who's, you know, in from the Hispanic community saying, yeah, this is how I grew up. You know, we always had a pot of beans cooking on the stove, or, you know, as we got older, as the crock pots became in vogue, that's what we used.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I call it a whatever soup.
I'm sorry?
No, I said I call it what I've got in my household is a whatever soup. And that's any of your vegetables, whatever you've got, you just go in and put it in the pot and let it simmer. And I have to recall that a very dear friend of mine who was Italian, he was raised, he's gone on now, but he was raised in an Italian family during the Depression. And he said his mom would get dandelion greens, whatever was there, and beans, and put them on the pot. And he said whatever we had went into that pot. And he said it was always going. And he said we'd dip into it whenever we got hungry. And he said we were healthy, which they were.
And dandelion greens are great if you have access to them. Although, unfortunately, so many dandelions today in the United States have gotten a really bad rap, and they've been eradicated with pesticides. I always taught my kids when we were growing up, if you see a lawn that has dandelions on it, you can walk barefoot. And when my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer the second time, and I kind of went off the deep end really looking for the answer, whatever it was, to try and avoid our huge family history of breast cancer, I did a macrobiotic diet for about a year. And working as a television reporter, I found I couldn't keep up with all the rules and requirements that a macrobiotic diet had. Very similar to a vegan diet, except that at least back in those days, they incorporated fish into eating that way. But there was a real emphasis on eating dandelion greens as the main number one green. And, you know, it's important not to pick it out of your lawn. You have to get it from an organic or at least a place where you know that it's not near pesticides.
Right. But, well, I'll tell you, Ellen, we're out of time. It's been a delight having you as a guest. Now, is your website vegcoach.com,
vegcoach.com? Vegcoach, like vegging out, vegetables,
right.
vegcoach.com.
Vegcoach.com.
You can get signed copies there or unsigned copies, a little bit cheaper on Amazon. I'm not out to make money on this. I just want to get great information out there, so whatever works for people. But I don't do signed copies on Amazon. And I'm also on Facebook. I tell people if you buy my book, that it entitles you to a lifetime access to me on Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, Ellen Jaffe Jones, thanks so much. Your book is just beautifully done. Go to her website, vegcoach.com, vegcoach.com, and find out more. It's been a delight having you. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5600.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And, well, I'd just be delighted to help you in any way that I can. And, of course, after you call in, just understand that then what we do is also encourage you to ask a question about anything that you would like to discuss. Now, by the way, you are listening to the Topperson commercials here, and Lou Paradise is an awesome guy. And if you know of anyone that is experiencing any kind of pain, first check out their website, topperson.com. Just don't take my word for it. But if you should decide you want to put in an order, because they're with the show, they will give you a 30% discount. But you have to call them or order it and use the code DS30, Donna Sebo, D like Donna, S like Sam, 30, and you'll get automatically a 30% discount. And they've got an 800 number, 959-1007. Okay, well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about travel. Yes, my guest has just got all kinds of wonderful ideas for traveling. I think traveling's great. It's a wonderful way to be introduced to the world. Of course, on Thursday, that's Thanksgiving, and I know you're all going to have a wonderful holiday. There is going to be a Best of Donna playing on that day because I'm going to be with friends and family. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking success against the odds. In today's world, we have so many things that we are told are bad, not going to work. It's just we're just going down to the depths of despair. Well, I got news for you. We can make a difference. And as individuals and collectively, we can have a tremendous impact not only on our own economic space, but on assisting others as well. So we'll be talking about that on Friday. I wanted to share with you a story about a man who literally disappeared. Yes, absolutely disappeared. Now, this took place in 1880, and this was documented. A man by the name of David Lang, on September 23rd, 1880, left his wife and children sitting on the front porch of their farmhouse. Now, they lived in Tennessee. They saw him as he walked out into his farm field, and he disappeared. He was just gone. Well, his daughter, Sarah, saw this occur. And, of course, they searched for him. They tried to figure out what happened. There was no answer. And when she became an adult, she decided she was going to write about this incident within the family, detailing how her mother had just screamed when she saw him disappear right in front of her eyes, and two other people that had been visiting in the home saw this as well. Now, a very thorough search was done. But Mr. Lang was never found. There were no sinkholes found, no hidden caves. There was nothing. He just disappeared right in front of their eyes. Well, in 1854, in Alabama, a similar incident affected another farmer. His name was Orion Williamson, and he went to bring his horse in from pasture, and before the eyes of his family and two neighbors who were visiting and were actually in a buggy on their property, he just disappeared right in front of their eyes. They had put out 50 bloodhounds to try to find him. 300 people searched for him, moving hand to hand over the ground. They were that diligent, never found a trace of him. Now, what was interesting, the following spring, after this incident of this disappearance, there was a circle that appeared where they had seen the farmer disappear. Inside of this circle, grass wouldn't grow, insects weren't crawling around it, nothing would go near that circle. And in 1885, a farmer by the name of Isaac Martin of Virginia strolled into a field and vanished. Now, at that time, in 1885, there was a newspaper called the New York Sun. It carried an article about the disappearance. They didn't have any information about whether someone saw him disappear. But there was a doctor. His name was Maximilian Hearn. He said the man had unknowingly walked into a void spot of universal ether. According to Dr. Hearn, he said such spots exist only for a few seconds at a time, and anything that walks into them is absorbed by it. Fascinating information, isn't it? There's so much about life that we just don't know anything about. energy centers, all kinds of things that go on. Vortexes, you'll hear that term often discussed. It's fascinating. We don't know it all. And that's one thing when I was doing my class last Saturday, I was saying to the people that were attending, I don't know it all. I never will know it all. It's not possible. The universe is so infinite in its expression. All we can do is the best we can with what we've got and be open to learning new things. It will make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Well, for those of you that have dogs, we've got to pay attention. With all the company coming over and all the people around, we have to be aware that you want to make sure that your pets are, if you're going to have a big house full of company, that they're comfortable with all that social environment and all the activity. I know our little Scotty Victor, he gets very animated in the beginning, but then settles down and just loves being around the people that come to visit. So we have to be aware of this with our animals because we need to pay attention to things. And I'll give you some more information about a vet who had some concepts about how we can prevent dog bites, because there are 4.7 million dog bites a year in the U.S. That is unbelievable. When we come back, well, we've got more things to share. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. For those of you in the state of Washington, I want to let you know I've got a couple of appearances coming up. I had a phone call today where I am going to, let me give them to you in order. December 3rd, Saturday, December the 3rd, I'm going to be doing the invocation as well as the first talk for the healings group that's going to be meeting at the Ascension Foundation. This is an open house. They've just opened up their new center, and it's on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. And I'm going to be there in the morning. I'll be there throughout the day, available for many consultations, and that is at 1222 South Weller Street in Seattle. And the phone number, if you want more information about it, is 206-356-6356. Also, in Tacoma, there is an annual event called the Dickens Festival. That's going to be held on Saturday, December the 10th, at the King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. And I am going to be appearing there for about three and a half to four hours, doing many consultations there. And part of the funds will be going towards a charity that this event supports. And every year they pick a different charity that they like to do something for. So anyway, those are two events. And then on December 17th, I'm going to be in the Portland area. And that's, again, another Saturday. So I'll be there. I'll be giving you more information about that event. That's going to be coming up, and it'll be going out in my newsletter, and I'll also be sending out emails to let you know what's going on, where, when, hours, etc. So I just wanted to let you know that that is evolving. It's just absolutely amazing how these things have come up, and I'm really surprised. I received an email from someone. And I really think that when Dusty sent this to me, I want to thank Dusty very much for doing this. But there is an animal charity, Adopt a Shelter. And anytime you shop online, you can help your favorite animal charity by going to www.adoptashelter.com. And it's an animal charity only shop to donate website. And it's easy. It's free to you and the charity. And they do have a video link there that you might want to utilize. And you can just forward it all to your friends. And if you would like to do it, if you would like to let people know that are involved in rescuing animals about it, then check them out, adoptashelter.com. It would just be wonderful. And there are so many animals that need homes. And there are so many wonderful, dedicated people that are out there that really want to have a safe haven for so many kinds of animals, whether it's ferrets, dogs, cats, monkeys, ravens, birds of all kinds. It's just amazing the size of the need. So do check that out, www.adoptashelter.com, because I think you'll enjoy it. One of the things that this vet was talking about, her name was Kate Cutting. She said, when you have an animal, and let's just talk about dogs for a moment, many times we need to check on things that about them. We need to be aware of their health. Sometimes dogs have problems with their teeth. And if a dog has a disease or is in any kind of pain, let's say a child is around them. I'll give you an example. We were visiting my sister-in-law, who lives up on the top of a mountain, or did, up on the top of a mountain in Arkansas. And she had Great Pyrenees. And these are beautiful dogs. These are wonderful dogs. And they're meant to be outdoor dogs. And, again, they're so large that a small child can ride on the back of one of these dogs if the animal will let them do it. Well, my sister-in-law's, one of her dogs had severe arthritis. And it was a very warm day, so he was laying out in the sun. And a small child went over to her dog, and he just snapped at her, and she didn't realize. She didn't know. She was just a little thing. She was only about 2.5, 3 years old, and Mom and Dad weren't paying attention. And the dog snapped. Well, naturally, it scared the child, and she started crying. The dog didn't bite her, but it snapped at her because it had severe arthritis. So they made sure that the child was distracted and moved over to another place so that the dog would not be bothered. And I think lots of times we forget, when we have pets, when we have animals, this is something we have to pay attention to. If you have an animal that's not well or is very sensitive, gets very hyper, you might want to put them, let's say, in the laundry room, maybe put a gate up so they can see what's going on, or whatever location you might want to put them in. A lot of people that raise dogs, they have these pens, these wire pens, so the animals can be contained and they can enjoy the commotion and the noise. We had to do that with our Scotties one time when we were having guests over because they were fairly young and they just were getting very agitated. So we just closed off an area and put their blankets in there and their toys so they felt secure. They didn't want to miss anything, but we also didn't want to have a problem with the guests. We had a full house of people. So these are things we need to remember around the holiday time of the year. And there's some other things that I'm going to share with you. Oh, by the way, if you're getting ready to set up Christmas trees and you've got little kitties, you've got little puppies and kittens or little ferrets or things that are creepy crawling around and they just love to get into everything, Well, I found out about some tips that I'll share with you, and I won't have time today. But remember, you've got to be sure that if you don't want your animal biting someone, you need to train them, that's true. But sometimes when animals are not well, they can be a young dog, middle-aged dog, older dog, any kind of animal. Be thoughtful. Be aware that people don't know your animals as well as you do. So be thoughtful about that. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. And tomorrow, we're going to be traveling. I hope you'll be ready to pack up your mental suitcases and journey with us, because we're going to have a good time. Have a wonderful day or evening, wherever you might be. We'll be right here at BBS Radio, same time, same place. Don't forget, we'll be here to share that time with you and some good other points of information as well. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.